Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And today is the fourth day of Ramadan, and it is also the fourth straight day of the siege against the city of Hama. The Syrian government has sent tanks, armored vehicles, and snipers into that city in an attempt to crush the democratic protests. We have here sound from an unverified footage of the tanks incursion and shooting. It was taken from YouTube and obtained by our partner, the New York Times. Human rights groups now say more than 140 people have been killed just since Sunday, and that adds up to a civilian death toll of more than 1,600 since March. Just yesterday, the United Nations finally broke their disagreement, and the Security Council condemned the government crackdown in Syria. Here's the chairman of the Security Council Counterterrorism Committee, Hardeep Singh Puri, who's also the permanent representative of India.
The Security Council expresses its grave concern at the deteriorating situation in Syria and expresses profound regret at the death of many hundreds of people. The Security Council condemns the widespread violations of human rights and the use of force against civilians by the Syrian authorities.
Joining us yet again, Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma and author of the daily blog Syria Comment. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning to you.
You know, is there any reason to believe that President Bashar Assad and his administration would defer to the wishes of the UN Security Council?
No, there isn't. The city of Hama had fallen out of government control about a month ago, almost a month ago, and a big mistake by the governor there, who was summarily dismissed. And Syria watched on for the last 3 weeks as the city of Hama set up its own leadership. And I guess the government was worried that this would become a little bit like Benghazi in Libya and could become the site of an alternative military. We've recently seen a Free Syria Army emerge that is going to fight against the government and the Syrian military. And so the Syrian government has decided that they were going to take back the city at whatever cost. And we're seeing that the cost is very high, and this is meaning more condemnation from the international community.
You know, looking broadly at the situation in Syria, Josh, you know, and you've talked about this a lot in the past. I mean, I was thinking about the statement that Bashar Assad said yesterday, offering a multi-party democracy. I mean, in a sense, though, because of the minority rule in Syria right now, the faction that sort of has been running Syria for more than a generation of the Alawites, there's really no future for that group in a begin with square one, by the numbers, democratic Syria, right?
Yes, and we have to remember that Bashar al-Assad is not offering a democratic Syria in this multi-party reform. What he is doing is saying that parties can run, but they can't rule. He has not eliminated the article in the Constitution, which says that the Ba'ath Party is the dominant party in Syria and will rule Syria. So he's offering reforms, but underneath Assad rule.
And Joshua Landis is the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma, and his blog is called Syria Comment. So at this point, I wonder if you'd answer this question, Joshua, that we asked earlier in the program. Is Bashar Assad possibly watching what's happening in Egypt and becoming even more entrenched in his determination to hold on to power?
Yes. I mean, the situation is a bit different in Egypt. Of course, Egypt sends a warning, is a cautionary tale for him. But Syria is a divided society along religious and ethnic lines, but mostly religious lines. And there's anxiety that there would be a lot of revenge at the end of this, because Assad has ruled for 40 years, and there have been suppression of the Muslim Brotherhood. And we saw the results of this kind of turmoil in Libya recently, where the chief of staff was assassinated by his own followers, and that's because we believe that the people who assassinated him were the Muslim Brotherhood types of Libya, who had been suppressed by the chief of staff, who was under Gaddafi and had put down the Muslim elements in Libya. in the past, and they didn't want to be ruled by this kind of person. They shot him. Now, that sort of thing is likely to go on in Syria, and the regime is worried. And the people who've supported this regime for 40 years are not don't want to be pushed from power, because many of them will end up hanging from a noose.
Well, you know, let's examine what is the next step then. If Bashar al-Assad is not worried about a condemnation from the UN Security Council, would he be worried about the threat of sanctions?
Of course he's going to be worried. He doesn't need international, he doesn't need to be starved. Obviously, he doesn't want sanctions to come down the line. This is bad as a condemnation. It's a raising the rhetoric. And it means that Russia and China, which both countries had previously resisted any declaration from the UN. But on the other hand, this has no action to it. This is a presidential statement. It's not a Security Council resolution. It is just raising the rhetorical bar. It doesn't mean that there's action yet, but it gets us closer to action.
Well, but Joshua Landis, what's really happening in Syria, is, according to some of the activists, is that both sides are waiting to see who blinks first.
No, this isn't a blinking. Everybody's talking about the regime collapsing. The regime is not going to collapse. We haven't seen a collapse of regime. I suppose Ceausescu would be the closest thing to this. But Syria is not Romania. This is not Eastern Europe. This is going to be fought out on the streets of Syria. The Syrian military is still extremely strong, and we're seeing that in its ability to retake Hama in a matter of days. It's killed, I suppose, something, you know, over 100 people in retaking the city. But that's a sign of weakness on the one hand, because they lost Hama to the population of the city, but it's also a sign of strength in that they can retake it. And what we're seeing now is the emergence of armed groups in these cities that have fallen out of government control, like Hama and so forth. And this is going to become increasingly a bloody battle. And what we have not seen is unity on the part of the opposition, and that's going to be key. If America and Europe is going to embrace this movement, there needs to be unity.
Which has not emerged yet. In the meantime, the international community watches and stands by as the civilians are killed by their own government. Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He's the author of the blog Syria Comment, talking about the escalation over the recent days, especially in the city, Syrian city of Hama, in which we're told more than 150 people were killed since Sunday. Joshua, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.